You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans, the fourth chapter. Last week, we started teaching on Father Abraham. Everybody say Father Abraham. And as the children's church song goes, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I'm one of them, so are you, as we go marching on right foot. Y'all remember that song? Okay. Before long, you got left foot, right foot, left arm, right arm, you know. But we're all the children of Abraham by faith, what the Scripture says. In fact, we read over there in Galatians, the third chapter, 7th verse, where it talks about that those who believe are the sons or the children of Abraham, King James Version. Those who believe are the children of Abraham or the sons of Abraham. We often think, well, you know, the Jews are special. Well, no question God chose the Jewish nation. And no question God's going to deal with them in the last days. We know that from the book of Revelation. But in Abraham, the Bible says all nations are blessed, not just one. In fact, that's one of the sevenfold blessings of Genesis, the 12th chapter, when God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, the Chaldean Empire, which is present-day Iraq. It's in that same area. In fact, they've actually discovered and dug up archaeological finds, what they call religious shrines. They call them ziggurats. And they've dug up shrines in that same area of Ur, which is a Chaldean city in the Empire of the Chaldeans. This is years back, way back before Christ, some 2,000 plus years B.C. And they've actually dug up to this day, and they've restored some of those temple shrines where they worship gods in those cities. And Abraham's family did worship other gods, but God called Abraham out of Ur, the Chaldean Empire, into a land that he was going to show him. And Abraham worshiped the one true God. And our connection to God, other of course than being born again, Jesus Christ, goes back to our father Abraham. He would be the father of our faith. The Bible says he's the father of faith, just like George Washington's the father of this country, first president and the father of our nation. Abraham is considered to be the father of faith. Now, I know Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12:1. And Jesus is the Son of God and died for our sins, and Abraham didn't do that. But Abraham set a pattern for us to believe. And that was before Moses. That was before the law. Are you with me? That was long before all that. So our identity, our connection there with the promise of God, which is eternal life and righteousness by faith, goes back to Moses. It goes past Moses. Goes all the way back to Abraham. God never promised righteousness or eternal life through the law of Moses. That was a promise he made to a man named Abraham. And righteousness, being born again and saved and going to heaven, eternal life, is a matter of promise, not a matter of law. So as good as Moses was and as great as the laws were, they couldn't make you righteous. They couldn't make you holy. That was something that God promised to a man long before the law, and that man is Abraham, and he's the father of faith. And we all of us, not just the Jews, all of us are the children of Abraham by faith. All of us. In fact, the Jewish nation, really that word Jew comes from Judea and Judah, which is one of the sons of Isaac. One of the sons of Jacob. Jacob's name was later changed to Israel. Before Jacob, his father was Isaac. And his father before Isaac was Abraham. That was before there was a nation of Israel, before there ever were any Jews. So God made this promise before there ever was a Jewish nation. The promise of eternal life. Hello. Are you with me? And our connection to Abraham is not a blood connection. It is a faith connection. I'm connected to Abraham through my faith. He's the father of faith, and those that believe and are of faith are the children of Abraham, is what the Bible says. Woohoo! And so here in Romans 4, he talks about Abraham, and he even says that in the 12th verse, he says he's the father of circumcision, that's the Jews, to them who are not of the circumcision, that's the Gentiles only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. This promise that we're talking about that God made to Abraham of righteousness by faith came before he was circumcised. Hallelujah. In fact, the 12th chapter, the promise that God made to Abraham in Genesis 12, that was before Abraham was circumcised. Way before then. He wasn't circumcised until way on later, you know, after he changed his name. Genesis 17 is when he changed his name, after he had Ishmael even. Wow. So here we are. We're not left out. We're not second rate. Hello. We're not, excuse the term, redheaded stepchild. You know the term. We're not second rate. We are the children of the living God, and we are connected with Abraham and the children of Abraham by faith. And here, we actually have some things that Abraham did laid out before us in the same chapter, Romans 4, which would connect us with the 12th verse, which says that he is also the father of those that walk in the steps of his faith. So if we'll do what he did, if we believe like he believed, then we'll be his children too in that respect. Now, I am a child of God and you're a child of God. I'm just talking about as a picture, as an analogy. So, you know, what you have here leading up to the 17th verse when he really got in faith and believed God for Isaac. You know, we have the idea, some people do, that Abraham was, you know, he's 75 years old when he came out of Ur of the Chaldees. This is Genesis 12. And the Bible says that, you know, I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. I'll bless you and I'll make a blessing out of you. And I'll bless those that bless you, curse those that curse you, and you, all nations of the earth, be blessed. There's a sevenfold blessing there, and that's a teaching in itself. But somehow we've got the idea, okay, from the age of 25 to 100, Abraham believed God for Isaac. And that is really not the case. He didn't. In fact, he didn't get in faith concerning Isaac till he was 99. Now, he believed God to take care of him. He believed God for that promised land that he moved through and was protected time and time again. It started in the 12th chapter when he was 75, and he was very rich in gold, cattle, and silver in the 13th chapter. 14th chapter is when he met Melchizedek after he went back and recaptured his nephew Lot, who had been taken over. And he rescued him and met Melchizedek in the 14th chapter. He made another covenant with God in the 15th chapter. Then if you go, you just kind of follow his life. In the 16th chapter, he had Ishmael. It was at 86. This to me is fascinating. He has Ishmael at 86 is what it says. He's 86 years old when he had Ishmael. And then in the 17th chapter, God speaks to him. Now, I don't know if you catch that, but if you're reading through there, I mean, he has this relationship with God. God spoke to him. God walked in the midst of a sacrifice that he'd made in the 15th chapter. I mean, he had a connection with God. He walked with God. It was an amazing deal. But when he had Ishmael at 86, it was 13 years later before God spoke to him again. Go read it. There's no record of it that he spoke to him. Almost as if God wasn't real happy about that deal. That he got in the flesh and didn't trust him. And it went into his concubine, or his handmaid, the handmaid of Sarah, Hagar, and had Ishmael. And incidentally, from that came the whole Arab world. And look at the Muslim world today. We're still paying for that mistake. In fact, that's even in the Quran. They talk about being the descendants of Ishmael. And they talk about claiming the Jewish land, Palestine, because by right he should get it because he was the firstborn son. Ishmael was. Are you with me? They even allude to or make it sound like Ishmael was the one he took up to Mount Moriah and sacrificed, and God stopped him instead of Isaac. I mean, they got it all twisted. Of course, Muhammad was like 600 years after Christ. I mean, the Quran was 600 years after Christianity, and it came in late in the game, and they just rewrote all this, the Quran and all this other, made it look like they're the ones supposed to have the land. But that was the mistake he made. And it tells us at 99 years old, God visited him and changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And that's in the 17th chapter of Genesis. And that's really where this picks up in Romans 4. Abraham really didn't get in faith concerning Isaac, concerning having a child through Sarah, until he was 99 and she was, 89 or 90, according to the scripture. Because he pleaded with God. He said, why don't we just raise up Ishmael, just use Ishmael. He said, I'll bless Ishmael, but he's not the son of promise. He's not what I promised. And it's almost like God realized that this was never going to happen until he made Abraham see and understand that he was more than he thought he was. And God changed his name from Abram to Abraham at 99. And Abraham means father of many nations. So until Abraham saw himself the way God saw him, he was never going to get what God wanted him to have. And God was never going to be able to move through him. And you and I need to realize who God says we are. And I think it holds us back because we have this idea of who we are, and who we think we are, and we're not who we think we are. We are who God says we are. But because we don't know what God says we are, and we're not convinced of who God says we are, and we're not calling ourselves what God says we are, we're not experiencing what God has for us. Potentially it's there, but it never really comes to pass because we never stake that claim. We never make that break, that bold declaration, confession of faith. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have, and I can do what God says I can do. Amen? So God said, Abram, we're going to change your name from Abram to Abraham. You're the father of many nations. So every time Abraham met someone, he had to say, I am the father of many nations. What's your name? I'm the father of many nations. That's my name. And they're thinking, you know, he's 99 years old. What are you talking about? Yeah. But when he did that, then he had Isaac a year later or at the time of life. In fact, he even changed Sarah's name to princess from Sarai to Sarah at that same time. He changed his name and he changed her name. That all happened in the 17th chapter. In fact, a lot went on. In fact, the 18th chapter is when the angels visited him and told him about Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember that? And he Jewed him down from 50 to 10. That's when we get the term Jew and down. You know, and Abraham really wasn't even a Jew. There were no Jews at that time. And then the 19th chapter is where Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. And then you get in the 20th chapter, and actually he revisits him in the 21st chapter where Isaac is born. Of Genesis, if you're, you know, I'm just kind of bringing you up to date. Does that help anybody? Okay. I like to be thorough, you know, when I'm teaching something. So here in the fourth chapter, we have this great scripture, 17 verse, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. That's when he did it, see. He changed his name from Abram to Abraham in the 17th chapter of Genesis. And it was after that he had Isaac. So Abraham wasn't just calling himself the father of many nations and standing in faith for Isaac through Sarah for 25 years. He only really did that for a year or less, from 99 to the time that Isaac was born. And that's what the scripture says if you study the scripture. Which that's good, that's fine. I mean, that doesn't belittle him because he trusted God for other things and he was a man of faith. He trusted God for the promise of eternal life and righteousness by faith. That's true, because he made that promise back when he was 75. But here he says this. He says, I have made you a father of many nations, 17 verse, for him who he believed, even God, who quickens or makes alive the dead, King James says quicken, makes alive the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were, hallelujah, somebody. Amen. We talked a little bit about that last week. That's what God does. God doesn't call things the way they are. He calls them the way they will be. The way they should be. God looks at you and says things about you that hadn't happened yet, but he sees them as having happened. He sees them as potential. He looked at Gideon and said, you mighty man of valor. Gideon looked around and said, who are you talking to? Are you talking to me? Is there somebody else here? I'm missing something here. He said, you mighty man of valor. He looked at Jeremiah in the first chapter and he told him, he says, I have ordained you a prophet. Whoa. And Jeremiah says, wait a minute. He said, I can't speak. I'm just a child. I mean, he's backing up. He saw something in Jeremiah didn't see. And, of course, God said, don't you say that. He said, don't you say you're a child. You will go wherever I send you, and you'll say whatever I say. In other words, you can do what I say you can do. You can. Don't say you can't, because you can. Amen? He called Moses out to deliver the children of Israel. And Moses backed up, and he said, I can't do that. I stutter. You know, I'm not eloquent. Lord, I stutter. And, you know, like Moses is going to tell God something he doesn't already know. You know, and God said, I'll be with you. But God always sees more in us than we see in ourselves. And we're not who the world calls us, and we're not who we call it. We're who God says we are. Hallelujah. We need to get in the Word and find out what it is. Amen. But he has this habit of constantly, continually calling things that be not as though they were, calling you healed when you feel in pain, calling you prosperous when your checkbook's empty. Are you with me? Calling you success when everybody says you're a failure. He calls things that be not as though they were. He calls for light when there's darkness. That's exactly what he did in Genesis, the first chapter. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water, and God said, let there be light. See, God calls for, because that's how God operates, that's how God does things, is by everything is made, in the scripture we find this very plainly, Everything was made by God's Word. Everything. There's nothing that was made that was not made by the Word of God. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with Him. Without Him, the Word was not anything made that was made. Pure and simple. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. Everything seen was made out of the unseen world. And we find all through Genesis, the first chapter especially, where He made things, it says, and God said, and there was. So everything starts with the Word. Everything's made with the Word. Now just think about it. Since everything is made by the Word, then everything is subject to the Word. Isn't that right? That's why when we pray and believe God, things change, because everything exists by the power of God's Word. By the Word of His power is what the Scripture says in Hebrews 1:4. So that's why prayer will change anything you see, because everything you see was made by the Word. So everything's subject to the Word. So when you stand on the Word, everything you see's got to submit to it. If you believe, if you stand in faith and you don't give up, you don't quit, if you keep believing, well, you could say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, not doubt in your heart, but believe those things which you say, and it would obey you. I didn't say it. Jesus said that. What's the point He's making? That we ought to go around and move mountains? Well, no. He's just saying that the power of God's Word in your mouth when you believe it would move a mountain if it's necessary, if it's in your way. It'll move a mountain or an obstacle in your life. It'll move sickness and disease. It'll move depression. It'll move poverty. It'll move whatever is hindering you, whatever obstacles in your path, whatever darkness has tried to roll into your situation. You can roll it back with the Word. You can say, let there be light, and dispel the darkness because of the power of God's Word.
Amen.
Why is that? Because everything was made by God's Word. Therefore, everything is subject to God's Word. Does that make sense? So Abraham decided to believe God, who makes the dead alive and calls those things that be not as though they were. I love it. You got to call for it. You got to set the thermostat, as it were. Amen? You got to call the dog if he's not there. Talked about that last week, too. So these are some steps that Abraham obviously took, you know. He believed God. He believed God because he heard what God said. He had a basis for faith. God had spoken to him, made a promise. Well, that's the first start. You hear God's Word. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Amen. So if we're ever going to believe God, we've got to find out what He says, because that's the only way faith comes. We hear, we believe. Amen. Romans 10:17 tells us that. And so it says he believed God. And boy, there's nothing pleases God more than believing Him, trusting Him. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. We got to believe God exists, that He's there, we wouldn't come to Him. And we have to believe that He will reward us when we do come to Him. Or what's the point of coming? And when we do that, it doesn't displease Him. I hear some people say, well, I just couldn't ask God for anything, or I wouldn't bother God with that. Actually, you know what? That displeases God for us not to ask Him. It displeases God for us not to trust Him. Let's do it again. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. What is it? What do you mean? What are you talking about? Faith, without faith, what do you mean when you say that? Well, he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So if we don't believe God will reward us when we come to Him, then that's not faith. And that doesn't please God, to think that He wouldn't hear me, and He wouldn't care, He doesn't care, and that He won't answer my prayer, and that He won't help me in my time of need. And you know, He doesn't want to be bothered with me. He really, you know, He's a big God, He's got bigger fish to fry. No, we're it. There's only one kind of fish in this sea, in this pond, in this ocean. We're it. No bigger fish to fry. We're the fish. And on truth be known, He doesn't really want to fry us. He don't want to fry any of us. He wants us to live. He can't even mind have life. We might have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. So, I mean, goodness, just that verse alone, you know, where it says he believed God. Yeah, that's the first step. If you want to walk in the steps of the faith of Abraham, trust God. Make a decision you're going to trust God, you're going to believe God. I don't know what's going on in your life. It's different with everybody. But if you want to be like Abraham, well, and we can be, because he's admonishing us to do it. He's telling us to do it. He's saying we can walk in these same steps. First step, believe God. Amen? Trust God. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, listen to what he has to say. Find out what his promises are. What has he said? When he says it, believe it. If he says he'll help you, he'll help you. Believe he'll help you. If he says, call unto me, I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not, well, call on him and believe that he'll show you great and mighty things which you know not. If he says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Romans 10:13, then call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved and you will be delivered. Hallelujah. Just do it. Just do what he says. Believe God. Trust God. You know, I just love this. I got so many scriptures rolling around inside of me. I'm trying to focus, you know. You know, if you want to be like Jesus, and we all should be, want to be like him, then we ought to learn to call things to be not as though they were. We ought to learn as Christians to be thermostats, not just thermometers. Not just read the temperature, but call for temperature. Not just read the times, but change the times. Are you with me? Not just accept what's going on, but change what's going on. Hallelujah. The Bible didn't say when you is any sick among you, y'all all gather around and just accept it. He said, is any sick among you, let them call the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. Anoint him with all the name of the Lord and a prayer of faith, save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. He didn't say leave him alone. He said make a difference, make a change. Do something, call for healing. Is any sick among you? Let him call. Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. Anoint him with all the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray ye one for another that you may be healed. Don't just leave everything like it is. Whatever happens, happens. No, you take the initiative. You set the you call for a different temperature. If it's too hot, call for a colder temperature. If it's too cold, call for a warmer temperature. Set your thermostat on 1 Peter 2:24. By his stripes you were healed. If you're sick, call for healing. If you're depressed, call for joy. Call for peace. Set the thermostat. Are you with me? Call it. Job 22:28 tells us, decree a thing and it will be established unto you, and the light shall shine upon your ways. Where does it start? Decree a thing. Confess it. Declare it. Say it. Decree a thing. And it, what you decree, what you say, what you confess, will be established to you. That's what will happen to you. What you've been saying over and over is what you're experiencing right now. What you've been planting in the ground is what you're harvesting. It's what you're eating. Amen? And God's saying, say his word, decree his word. Call those things that be not as though they were. Amen? Decree a thing and it'll be established unto you. And the light shall shine upon your ways. Hey, creativity all of a sudden will come. Motivation will come. The ways to make it happen will come. Light will come. Revelation will come if you first decree it. But if you don't declare it, you don't decree it, you don't say it, it won't be established. Why? Why is that? Because that's the principles. That's the rules. That's the way it works. God says things and then they happen. You got to say things and then they'll happen. The first thing that happens is the word's got to be there. It's got to come into play. It's got to come into your life. It's got to come into your marriage. It's got to come into your business. It's got to come into your body. It's got to come into your mind. Whatever it is that you're dealing with, you got to get the word in there. You got to say it. You got to pray it. You got to declare it. Because everything starts with the word. Starts with the promise. Amen? That's where faith comes from. That's where we get in faith. Start believing him. That's good stuff. I'm stirred up on that verse. I'm trying to get past that verse. But anyway, that's good stuff. Amen. Well, so he believed God. He believed God who calls the things that be not as though they were, who doesn't say what they feel, who doesn't say what they see, who doesn't say what everybody else is saying, but calls for what they want. I love that. You know, that's what he, I'm going to get to the next verse. But anyway, Mark 11:24, think about it. Jesus said this. He said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. He didn't say, just pray whatever's happening. He said, whatever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. Well, what should I pray? You should pray what you desire. You should pray what's not happening. You should pray for what should be happening. You should pray for what God promises that you don't see happening right now. And when you pray, that's what you should pray. You should pray what you say, well, I don't really want this. Well, don't pray that. Well, what I'd really like, well, why don't you pray that? Well, that'd just be a little too selfish. No, that would be obeying Jesus, because that's what Jesus said. Mark 11:23 says, whosoever saying to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. 24th verse, next verse says, and whatsoever, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them.
Yeah. Amen.
Mm. When do I believe? When you pray. When you pray, you believe you receive them. You start saying you got it in Jesus' name when you can't see it. That's calling things be not as though they were. That's believing God. Not believing your feelings, not believing what you see, not believing what everybody says, but believing what God says. Amen? And people say, well, you're just crazy. That's it. What are you talking about, man? Can't you see? Yeah, I can see, but I'm not going by what I see. I walk by faith, not by sight. Are you with me? I'm going by the Word. Hallelujah. And the Word says, and quote him the promise, show it to him. And I prayed that, and I believe God. It's going to be just like God says it's going to be. And I believe I received it when I pray. Amen? And I shall have them. So Abraham says, I am the father of many nations, before he ever was, before he ever had Isaac, before Isaac was ever born. He called things be not as though they were. You know why? You know why he called himself Abraham? You know why he said, I am the father of many nations? You know why he said that about himself? Because that's what God said about him. Because if that's what God says about me, then that's what I'm going to say about me. And I can almost see in heaven, when God changed his name, and Abraham said, okay, I'm Abraham. I'm the father of many nations. I can almost see God saying, you finally got it. You finally got it. Now you're saying about yourself what I've been saying about you. I've been waiting on this all these years, 24 years. Been waiting on you. Could have took care of this a long time ago, Abraham. But that's okay. You finally got it. And we're glad. We're happy. You finally got it. Because this is what it's all about. It's seeing yourself and saying about yourself what God says about you, not what everybody else says about you. Not what your mama said about you, daddy said about you, not what your boss said about you, or your husband or your wife. And I hope you had good parents and wives and bosses and everything, but it's not always the case. Not always the case. But I can assure you, you're not who everybody says you are. You're who God says you are. You're not who the world says you are. Well, I'm just no Williams, and I was just raised like this. My parents did this. My brother, my sister did this, and I come from Center, Texas. In Center, Texas, they all do this. Well, thank God for Center. Thank God for my parents. Thank God for my brother, my sister. But, my future is in my hands. It's what I believe. It's what I stand on, what I choose to believe. And God has a bright future for every one of us if we'll choose it. I don't take it away from God because we'd nothing without him. But if you choose to believe him, he'll begin to work in your life and you'll have the future and the destiny and the calling that he wants you to have. And he was just waiting around. He waited around for a long time for Abraham. A long time before he finally got it. And when he finally got it, when he got it was when he started saying what God said about himself. That's when he got it. That's when he really got in faith. That was the first step. Believe God. I am who God says I am. Mm. Yeah. That's good stuff. 18th verse. I took the first 30 on the first verse. Let's take the next 5 on the next one. This might be a 3-parter, I'm telling you.
That's okay.
That'll be okay. 18th verse, who against hope believed in hope. I love that. All hope was lost. Come on, man. You ever been there? Well, there's no way you're ever going to get out of this mess. Well, I think that when things get that bad, when all hope is gone, Paul was that way. He was shipwrecked. And it says all hope was lost. All hope was lost that we should be saved. An angel visited me in the night and said that we'd be saved. And I believe that it'll be just like it was told me. That's what Paul said. And up to that point, all hope was lost. All hope was lost that we should be saved. Shipwreck, book of Acts. Go read it. It's an amazing story. And an angel stood before me, whom I serve, the angel of God, whom I serve and who I am. He told me we would be saved. And I believe it'll be just like he told me. I love that. And they were still having a storm when he said it, too. Went and told the captain. He said, we're going to be saved. Everybody needs to stay on ship. We're all going to be saved. Wow. All hope was gone. You know, all hope was lost. Well, I mean, you're 99 years old. Not much hope of having kids. Are you with me? But God said you're going to have a child. Listen, he didn't just get a hold of that at 99, then had Isaac at 100. Did you know that after Sarah died, he married Keturah and had several more kids? We're talking another 25 years plus later. He's still having kids. Man, he got a hold of something. Are you with me? He got a hold of something at 99. Thinking it was all over, and here he was. You realize, no, it's not all over. I am who God says I am. Wow. Okay. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become, that he might become, that he might become, that he might become. If you're ever going to become what God says, then you're going to have to keep hope alive. Amen. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. If you're ever going to become what's spoken about you, and there's a lot of things spoken about you, but if you want to become what God says, you have to keep hope alive. You have to continue to believe. You have to keep your expectancy up. Faith will do that. See, God says all kinds of things, but you're never going to become this until you believe. Amen? You know, I think of, what was it, Mary, when the angel Gabriel came to her and said what he said about her having a child, and she said, wow, how will this thing be? Seeing I know not a man. He said, well, the Holy Ghost overshadow you, and that thing which you've born of you will be the Son of God. And Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word. Be it unto me according to your word. There's no way the natural could have happened. It was hopeless in the natural. It was impossible in the natural. Because the angel even ended up, he said, the things that are, he says, for nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible with God. Actually, in the Greek, where Gabriel said, nothing shall be impossible to God, it's actually, give you a little Greek lesson, ouk is not, ouk rhema. In other words, every spoken word is possible. No spoken word God says is impossible. That's what he literally said in the Greek. And that even makes it even stronger when you study that out, that when he said, he didn't say nothing's impossible, he said no spoken word's impossible. Nothing God says is impossible. I like that. And you and I need to get a hold of that. Nothing God says is impossible. What you and I need to do is say like Mary, be it unto me according to your word. What you and I do is be like Abraham, and against all hope, believe in hope, that we might become what is spoken about us. Because God said some wonderful things about us. We need to believe them in order to become them. You know, I don't know what you plan on becoming, but we're all becoming something. I want to become what God says. I want to become this I want this promise to come to pass for me. I want to be what God wants me to be. I want to be the man of God God wants me to be. I'm going to have to believe for that to happen. You know, it's Matthew 9. Well, Matthew 9, 29 is the verse I'm thinking of. You remember when the blind men came to Jesus and just wouldn't be quiet, you know, and they wanted to be healed. And he said, well, do you believe I'm able to do this? And they said, yea, Lord. Yes, we do. And the Message translation says, In the King James says, as you believe, so be it unto you. In the Message translation, it says, become what you believe. Matthew 9:29 is where that is, 29th verse in the 9th chapter of Matthew. I love that. Because really, you and I are all becoming what we believe, be it bad or be it good. If we'll believe what God says, like Abraham, if we'll walk in the steps of the faith of Abraham and truly be the children of Abraham by faith, then we'll become what God says about us, just like Abraham became what God said about him. And there's some steps that leads us up to that. We got to first believe God. We got to call what is not as though it is, be not as though it be. And then we got to, against hope, believe in hope in order for us to become what is written or what is said about us. No, and those are simple steps, and there's some others that we'll just have to pick up next week.